Could we pray for each other for a moment, that we can listen to what God wants to say to us? And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph. Saint Benedict. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you turn the... I wonder if the battery's dead. Yeah, I think the battery's dead. Hope you had a nice rest last night. We had a workout, huh? A little liturgical workout yesterday? Yeah, made you into real monks last night. That's right. Yeah, it's a blessing. Nice to stretch our liturgical muscles a little bit. And I hope that it was also an experience that you got some of those little, maybe some little lights, maybe some things. But you know, there's something about, I remember... A few months ago I was coming back. We have a regular mission to the Torrance Forensic Mental Hospital and then the regular mental hospital for normal mental people. But the two monks always drive together, and I was at the forensic unit and Father Stephen Concordia was at the normal unit. And we got into the car together after Mass, and I asked him something about, you know, how the Mass was. And he said, yeah, you know, It's always a positive experience to make it through a liturgy. You know, there's something about the ritual that, regardless of the comprehension of different parts and how much attention, you know, just regardless of, in the face of all of the kind of human factors and different limitations, and whether you're a mental patient or you're whatever, you feel good at the end. And not just because the agony is over or something like that. The Mass has ended. Go in peace. Thanks be to God. You know. But there's something. We've done something. We've moved through something. We've participated in something holy. And we feel that just at a very basic level. And then there's a lot of kind of added extras, I would say. But just to enter into the liturgy, enter into the ritual, there's something about that. And some of that flows over into purely human rituals too. I mean, we sort of feel good when like Thanksgiving is over. You know, we've made it through Thanksgiving Day, the relatives have come and the dinner was served, and all of the kind of human rituals at that level were carried out. But there's something obviously elevated and more profound, something special about participating in a liturgy together, passing through that ritual together. So I think just receiving, understanding how to receive at that level, that we don't, oh, I didn't get anything out of it. I didn't get all the, you know, brilliant lights. I didn't. And at the same time, you know, there are things that emerge. I also always think of Saint Therese, who said, I don't experience the effect of my prayer during my prayer. I experience it after my prayer. And there's really truth to that, too. We sort of soak in a lot. It's kind of there's a little bit of a delayed reaction, a little bit like eating or drinking water or something like that. If we're dehydrated, we get a little bit of an experience immediately, but it takes a little while for the water to make it to all of the cells and all the different parts of the body, or for the food to actually reach the places that need to be nourished, or when we take medicine for it to get to the places that need to receive it. So there's a little bit of a delayed effect in liturgy that's that way too, that we can enter into the mystery and just receive what the Lord wants to give us in those things. But I want to talk this morning in our last conference about the other significant reference in the rule of Saint Benedict to the Holy Spirit. And it shows up in the chapter in Lent and is in reference to a word we don't associate enough with Lent, joy. It's the only time that Saint Benedict uses the word joy in the entire rule is in Lent, because he's a big melancholic. But he uses the word joy not even just once, but twice. Gaudium, joy, uses it twice in the context of Lent. And one of them is in reference to, specifically in reference to the Holy Spirit, really quoting from 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. And I'll just read the little piece where that occurs in his chapter 49 on Lent. He says, "During these days, therefore, we will add to the usual measure of our service something by way of private prayer and abstinence from food or drink, so that each of us will have something above the assigned measure to offer to God of his own will, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, let each one deny himself some food, drink, sleep, needless talking and idle jesting, and look forward to Holy Easter with joy and spiritual longing." Those two sentences are a little bit in parallel, and they inform each other. He speaks about the joy of the Holy Spirit, and then in parallel he speaks about joy and spiritual longing. And it clues us in that there's this joy of the Holy Spirit, which is also a joy of spiritual longing. We don't always think of longing and joy as going together. But we're longing for Easter, and there's a specific structure to that longing which also makes it joyful. I should point out, before we go too much farther, that this little paragraph, which is obviously focused on the liturgical season of Lent, is something that Saint Benedict really sees applying to the whole of life. In the couple of verses before this, he says, "We know that the life of a monk should be a continuous Lent. But since few of us have the strength for this, let us at least agree in this holy season to recover our practices," and I forget exactly the phrasing from there, but the life of a monk should be a continuous Lent. So he really sees these principles applying to the whole of life as much as possible, recognizing that we need punctuated moments to recover our original zeal and to set out on our path again. He recognizes the liturgical season of Lent as an opportunity for that. But just to point out that everything that we say here doesn't just apply to Lent. You don't just have to remember it until next year and then put it into practice, but it already applies in the context of our lives. And so, namely, that there is a joy that comes with self-denial, that there's a joy that comes with abstinence and fasting, there's a joy that comes with additional prayer, a little denying ourselves some food, drink, sleep, needless talking and idle jesting. And the last piece is really important. And looking forward to Holy Easter. So we have this, a little bit of a tension that's there. We feel in this moment a lack. We feel a longing. We feel an emptiness. We feel a certain poverty. There's a desire that's there. But we also have in the future a promise. Well, we have in this moment a promise of something that's going to come in the future. So together with the emptiness, with the absence, is a promise of how that emptiness will be filled. And if I can bring us back to that image from last night's homily of a kind of spiritual womb, that emptiness is not just a useless organ. A womb is not an appendix. That emptiness is rather something that has a promise of being filled. And that's what gets us excited. That's where the joy starts to come. And that joy is going to be dependent on our confidence in the one who promises. If we believe the promise, our joy will already be filled now. If we doubt the promise, there will be a more hesitation in our joy. If we really have no promise, there will be only suffering and anxiety. The joy comes in proportion to our confidence in the one who promises, our confidence in the hope that there will be something to fill us. So we have lots of poverty and emptiness and absence. We have lots of things that are lacking in our lives. When St. Benedict invites us to take up some of these practices to accentuate that a little bit during the Lenten season, to deny ourselves in some specific ways, he's really helping us to press into that emptiness, to feel it a little more deeply, not just to cover it over, a little bit like I was saying yesterday with food and fasting. We have a way of covering things over with food. There's a certain anesthetic quality to eating. There's a certain anesthetic quality to needless talking and idle jesting. We have ways of being in denial and getting our mind off of it. But St. Benedict is encouraging us, as we are able to press into it a little bit, feel it. Let's be honest with the kind of ache in our hearts. Our life at this moment is not totally satisfying. Our life in this moment is lacking some things. We have maybe more love in our hearts than we have people to give it to. We have more energy than we know how to expend it. Or we have less energy than we have plans to expend it. We have more hunger in our stomachs than we have food to put in it. We have more, so we have this longing, this lack, and instead of being in denial, whistling Dixie, distracting ourselves, feel it. But at the same time, feel the promise. Feel the joy that comes from knowing that he has more for us even than we imagine, even than we long for, precisely in the place that aches. And even more than that, get in touch with the deeper and deeper ache. Because really, if we think about it, and if we allow love to blossom in our lives, in our hearts, if we allow our longing to really expand for what we really desire, it's so much more than could possibly be filled in this life. We long, for example, really to be one with people that we love. It's always a pain to us. At the same time that there's a sweetness in giving someone a hug, there's a pain that we're still not one completely, or that the hug has to end. Even when we enter into a beautiful conversation and have a deep connection with someone, there's still a pain that there are things that I can't say, or I can't hear, or we don't have time to continue this endlessly. If we get in touch with the deepest longing for union that we have, even with each other, let alone with God, we have an incredible amount of longing. Feel it. Enter into it. And feel the weight of our own human poverty. We have such great desires and such limitations in our humanity. But we have such a promise. Someday we will break out of this mortal shell and will be given a glorified body in which the hug is absolute. I in him, he in me, I in her, she in me, all of us in God and God in us. What does that look like? Eye has not seen and ear has not heard. But that's where our longing leads us if we allow it to really ripen, to grow, and to feel it. But so often we are in denial about these kinds of things because it hurts too much. And we don't have sufficient hope in the one who promises that it won't hurt forever. So those are big longings, but we can experience that in a lot of little ways too. We make lots of different mistakes. What did I do last night with the Nunc Dimittis, you know, trying to chant that? I'm always like, I just can't read music well enough to follow that. So sometimes it clicks and sometimes it doesn't. And I know when it doesn't, it's just going to be a train wreck. It was time to bail out. I'm just going to recite the second verse. And I just feel that poverty like, oh man, that was just a mess. We can enter into that if we know that, again, there's love. There's a promise. This isn't the end. This isn't going to destroy me. This is the poverty of my human condition. but in that I am loved. This is a spiritual womb that God can put his seed into and fill and bring forth new life. A little bit of laughter from you. It's even sweeter than if we had done it right, that we could laugh about it today, right? This is the kind of thing that God does. He takes our poverty, and as long as we give it to him, we open it to him, he makes it a capacity to bear new life, to make something even more beautiful than we could have made if we didn't have the poverty. We're always grasping after strength, but God is always saying, I love your poverty. Don't hide it from me. Don't bury it. Don't stuff away your weaknesses. Just give them to me. Let me work with them. Let me fill them. Sometimes we grow like little babies. I didn't used to be able to speak. Now I can speak. Later in my life, I won't be able to speak. but God keeps working with our poverty, our weakness, just to give it to him. And that's where St. Benedict is encouraging us in Lent, enter into it. And we do that also in experiencing our failures. I always love to refer to St. Gregory the Great, our wonderful Benedictine Pope, who said, the sign of a good penance is that you fail at it. Because what you receive through the failure is better than what you would have received through the success. Because in the failure, you receive an encounter with God's mercy. We can bring the failure to him as a little child with a broken train. Can you fix it, Daddy? That's all I have to offer. I tried to fast, and then I ate this box of chocolate. That's all I have to offer you. And God replies always with his mercy. Okay, that's okay. Let's take a step forward now. Let's try again. Here, I'm going to do this with you. Let me throw out that box of chocolate for you. God always replies with his mercy. And it's not that we just justify our sloth or we just give ourselves over to self-indulgence because we haven't really felt the poverty if we want to stay there. It's not that I want to keep failing at this, but when I have failed, I need to bring it to the Lord and receive his love. And it's his love that's going to transform that weakness if it needs to be transformed, or it's his love that's going to fill that weakness and bring forth something else that needs to be brought forth. So, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings about this joy and spiritual longing. They go hand in hand. We experience a joy already in hope. Normally, St. Thomas Aquinas is always so helpful in giving us nice definitions about these things, but normally, joy comes from the possession of the good. When I finally receive the good that I'm looking for, I'm happy. I receive joy from having possession of this good thing. We can think of lots of examples when there's an encounter with someone we love, or when there's that toy that we always wanted, or there's that food at the mealtime, or there's some success in our work, or there's whatever it is. When we actually have it, then that brings forth joy. But we can have joy and spiritual longing, again, depending on our confidence in the one who promises. And we experience this in some different ways. For those of you who do development and get pledges, when someone pledges $1 million, joy! We have the joy already. Wow, I got the pledge. You don't actually have anything more than you had yesterday. You just have a promise. And in fact, if the guy's not trustworthy, you don't even have a very good promise. But if he is trustworthy, you already take joy at the promise. In my own life now, and being the director of spiritual life in the seminary, it's my responsibility to schedule people for days of recollection and for retreats. And I had a wonderful encounter. I called up this Dominican priest who's very busy. He's a missionary of mercy from Pope Francis's delegation. And I know he's got a ton of stuff going on. So I asked him, would you have time to give a day of recollection? And he goes, oh, sure, yeah. Would you just want a day, or you want? I just did a retreat for this other seminary, you know, up in Canada. I've got this retreat prepared. If you wanted, I'm like, Whoa, I didn't even think to ask you for a retreat. That's fantastic. You could do that? Well, yeah, you know, I've got... And then he tries to convince me why he can give this retreat. I'm like, oh man, I'm already sold. I already know you. But he said, yes, I have it on my calendar. I'm going to come for the retreat. I already have joy. He hasn't come yet. I mean, he could die between now and then. I don't know, but I hope not. But I don't have the... I haven't possessed it yet, and already I have the joy because his promise... I know that he's faithful. I know that he's trustworthy. So I can rejoice already in the promise. God is faithful. His promise is better than possession. His promise is as good as having it in hand. When he promises Holy Easter, when he promises resurrection, when he promises the fullness of life and love, when he promises that he can make all things good, when he promises consummation in him with everyone, his promise is as good as gold. A lot better, actually. Gold's passing away. God's promise is trustworthy. And we can already take joy in his promise. That verse from 1 Thessalonians that St. Benedict quotes occurs in a context. The quote that St. Benedict has is, with joy of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians, St. Paul says, you become imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great affliction with joy from the Holy Spirit. Receiving the word in great affliction with joy from the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? In great affliction, we can have joy because we believe in the promise. The great affliction is not going to last, and it's going to give way to a greater gift, a greater reality, a greater treasure, because we receive the word. The word is the promise. The word is already Christ. The word is God's word. He gives us his word. That's better than gold. And even in great affliction, we can learn to receive that word and already begin to experience joy from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the promise. We already receive him. Even in our emptiness and in our poverty, we create a space for him. It stretches us more and more to prepare a place to receive the Holy Spirit. So when we really learn to live by faith, not only by sight, not only by human reason, when we start to live by faith and we start to put more stock in God's promises than we put stock in our own abilities, because isn't it a little bit insane if we depend on ourselves? Who is less trustworthy than ourselves? I mean, don't we know ourselves better than that by now? Thank God I don't put too much stock in my singing ability or in my speaking ability for that matter, or certainly in a whole lot of other abilities like my ability to organize or keep things on a calendar. I'm about to enter into an experience of double booking. I am giving a parish mission tonight that I failed to put on my calendar and starting a retreat on Tuesday at the same time that I'm at the parish mission. That's going to be challenging. Why do we put any stock in ourselves and we don't put any stock in the Lord? Shouldn't we have more confidence in him than we have in ourselves? And to be able to do that, to be able to look in the face of darkness and difficulty and emptiness and poverty and failure and suffering and affliction, to be able to look it in the face and say, God is right through there. And I can enter into that, and it's not going to overcome me. It's not going to be pleasant. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing pleasant about that. But even as it's exteriorly unpleasant, it can become interiorly joyful as I look forward to the wonderful things that God is going to do with whatever it is that I'm going through. So, St. Benedict tells us to practice. during Lent. We take a little bit of it on ourselves. The reality is that no penance that's self-afflicting, that's afflicted on ourselves, inflicted, that's what I'm looking for, that's self-inflicted, is ever as purifying as a penance that's not self-inflicted. The thing about self-inflicted penances is that I still am in control. I'm the one that did it to myself. And I feel like I always have the out of, well, I could just take a pass on my fasting today or whatever. But we do a little practice. These things are a little bit of practice, whether it's our extra time in prayer or our less needless talking and idle jesting or a little less food and drink or a little less of a specific kind of food and drink. We feel it, feel the pinch of the fasting. If we take a little bit more time in prayer, inevitably we're going to feel our own incapacity for prayer, which is a gift. May you always pray long enough to feel like you don't know how to pray. That you get stretched enough that you say, yeah, I just don't even know what I'm doing here. Lord, teach me to pray. May you be stretched in prayer long enough that it's hard. There's a little bit of struggle there. That's how we grow. When we persevere in those difficult times, it stretches us, helps us to grow. And when we experience our failure even to do those things, as we set out a spiritual plan, we should get as much from the fact that we fulfilled it. Maybe we're faithful in prayer, made our 15 minutes or our half an hour or an hour a day, day after day, and then we failed. Let's not bury that failure in the, oh, well, it didn't really matter anyway. No, feel it a little bit. Yeah. I put time into countless things, and I can't give time to you, Lord. I just feel it a little bit. But then I don't stay there and beat myself up. I let him renew me. Help me to begin again. I want to be faithful. Help me to persevere. And then that failure gets filled with love and promise, his mercy and his presence. So I thought that would be a helpful conference for you as we anticipate going forth. I hope you go forth with lots of fulfillment in your time here. I hope that it's been a time that was fruitful for you and having some insight, maybe a little bit of learning, but more importantly, a time with the Lord, a chance to give yourself over to him, a chance to receive. Maybe you got also some guidance, maybe just some rest, maybe some refreshment, maybe we're able to hit the reset button and start over again with your spiritual life and be resolved to go forward. So I hope that there were some things that you received, but I also hope you go forth with some longing and maybe even think, huh, boy, I feel like I need a retreat from my retreat. I could use another week. I could use another month. Great. Feel it. Because heaven is going to be a great retreat. And may we look forward to and already begin to receive some of the joy of that. That's what God promises us. Even so much more than we manage to long for. So let us at least have some spiritual longing and have the joy of the promise. God will fulfill it. He has so much more than we can even imagine. So in that sense, I hope the retreat was just a teaser. I hope it just stimulates a little bit more desire. It expands that spiritual womb. It expands the longing in your heart, because that is what God wants to do. Even as he gives, even as he satisfies, he always creates a deeper longing in us. And my own thought about heaven is that it's a little bit like that. It's constant satisfaction and opening up to a greater thirst, which leads to a greater satisfaction and a greater thirst, and a greater satisfaction and a greater thirst. And I think that's how we open to infinity and how we enter into the eternal communion of love that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us pray. God, loving Father, pour your grace into the hearts of your beloved sons and daughters who have given this time to you on retreat. Help them to continue receiving from this time of prayer. Help them to be more and more transformed by the time that they have spent with you. Expand their hearts with an even greater longing. Prepare them for heaven in an even more radical way. And make their radiance visible and their encounter with everyone that they go forth from, that they meet when they go forth from here. Let it be an evangelical encounter. Make them truly missionaries sent by the Holy Spirit, empowered to share the joy of the promise, a hope which does not disappoint. And through the intercession of Our Lady and Saint Joseph and Saint Benedict, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.